Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman. I'm going to be your host for this episode of Track World News presented by Track Barn. And today we have a lot of things we're going to get into. So before we do that, make sure you leave a like, subscribe, leave a review, leave a comment. That all really helps us know that you're enjoying this stuff. Today we're going to talk about the 100 meters that's going to be happening at the Prefontaine Classic and how we cannot mess that up. We're going to go over some crazy things we've seen on the women's side for sprints. Brittany Brown dropping a 10.66, Cambria Sturgis with the world lead, and then Favor Ofili breaking into the 21s for the 200 meter dash. Then we're going to finish it up with Stephen Gardner going on a 21 straight win streak in the men's 400. You definitely don't want to miss any of that. And so now we got to get started with the Prefontaine Classic. So not too long ago, I think this was, if you're watching this, it was probably about 4 days ago, the Pre-Classic on their Instagram page and Twitter came out with who the field is going to be with the men's 100 meter dash. And so over the past month or so, they have been teasing headlining athletes for each event. So, hey, this is who's going to be in the 200. We're going to have this person in the 1500. In the long jump, this is who it is, showing all the headliners, yada, yada, yada. They got a lot of athletes that are going to be competing, obviously, because every Nike athlete has to compete. And then, of course, there's going to be a few other ones there as well. And so this headline caught a lot of attention because this is the most stacked 100-meter field we've ever seen. So we have headlining Marcel Jacobs, gold medalist in the 100 at the Olympics. Fred Curley, silver medalist. Andre DeGrasse, gold medalist in the 200 as well. Marvin Bracy, Christian Coleman, Noah Lyles, Kenny Bednarik, and Ronnie Baker. This average PR time of everyone in there, the average PR is a 9.84. We have people as fast as a 9.76 in here. This is happening on May 28th. So this is going to be one of the most prolific and exciting races we're going to see of this entire season outside of the World Championships. I mean, I might even dare to say this is going to be better than the World Championships, because in the World Championships, we cannot see this field. Like, this field is not possible when it comes to the World Championships, because you're only able to have, in the United States side, 4 competitors in the 100. And right now here we have, what, Fred Curley, Marvin Bracy, Christian Coleman, Noah Lyles, Kenny Bednarik, and Ronnie Baker. So there's 6 United States men that are going to be in this race, and we can only have 4 because Christian Coleman has a bye. So this is going to be an insane field that we'll never be able to see at a major championship. And that just makes this even more exciting. I mean, everyone in this race is going to have has a reason on why they could or they should win. You know, Marcel Jacobs, like, he's a guy that nobody really is giving his due, even though he has won back-to-back major championships. You got Fred Curley, Mr., you know, Wonder Boy, who can do freaking anything. Andre DeGrasse, who always finds himself on the podium and won the Prefontaine Classic last year. Marvin Bracy coming back from injury, Christian Coleman coming back from suspension, Noah Lyles, who's been working on the 60 and is now progressing and doing really well in the sprint, so he could do this in the 100 as well, Kenny Bednarik, the most consistent 200-meter sprinter we've ever seen, even more consistent than Usain Bolt was last year, the most amount of times under sub 20, and you have Ronnie Baker, who's going to want to be coming back and showing why he deserves to be the best athlete here. So these guys have something that they're winning for and something to prove, because they either are coming back from a crazy season last year, from not being able to compete in a long time, or they're trying to make a name of themselves. And so these guys have a lot to prove and a lot to show out for. And I'm not going to go over my predictions yet, because this race isn't happening for over another month, and so I'm not going to put my predictions out just yet. Many of these people are probably going to be competing in between now and pre-classic, so we don't want to go over that and, you know, spill the beans just quite. But what I do want to talk about is the fact that we cannot mess this up, because from a business standpoint and from a marketing standpoint, there is not going to be another time where we're going to have this caliber of athletes in track and field competing at once. And so let's make sure that we're going to capitalize on it. How are we going to do that? Well, one, let's not make the only time that we see this marketing in between now and the race be just what we saw a week ago. Like, make sure that this is getting hyped up throughout the next month. Another thing we should see, are we going to be having press conferences where these guys are going to be talking about the race and actually hyping this up as a major race that's going to be happening? Are we going to be seeing these athletes conducting different interviews where they're going to be talking about racing in this competition and hyping it up? All of these things are what I would be doing and what I would be pushing athletes to be doing to make the sport grow and to make their brand grow as well. But the thing is, I don't see that happening. Why? Because it's never happened in track and field. We don't get this hype for events like other sports do. Like, the example that I use all the time is the UFC. If you look at a UFC event, they have a long chain of hyping up a major competition or a major fight. Like, we know who's going to be fighting in this championship in 5 months, and there is a lead up in marketing and a strategic outreach with interviews and with press conferences where it's leading up, so this is going to be the biggest billing. And really, the trash talk and everything that leads up to it is almost more exciting than the fight itself. And it makes that fight, when it happens, it's at all cylinders, because all storylines have been discussed. Like, everyone knows, okay, this guy's fighting for this thing, this guy's fighting for that thing. And here we have 8 different storylines, all of them that are very important and very interesting, but I don't feel that it's gonna be leading up to that. It's gonna be a major selling point, because that's just not how track and field has done it. And so I feel, and I'm scared to say, that I believe we're gonna fumble the bag with this type of race. And whether that's Nike, whether that's the pre-classic, whether that's the athletes themselves, it's the fans, it's the management, whoever it's on somebody, and it's going to be disappointing, because this race, I believe, has an opportunity to really be a game-changing race with the amount of names that you have. Like, if you do this right, if you market this right, then we can have a lot of pickup going into this thing, and making a lot more money in track and field because of it, and these athletes in turn could then make more money through different, you know, branding that they have. But we're not going to do that, and it's like, well, this is a problem of track and field. Like, we're not modernizing the business here. I'm going on a little tangent, but that's the biggest issue in my head when it comes to, you know, growing as a sport and growing as an individual. Because I've always been the big facilitator of, you need to facilitate in your own rescue. You need to participate and be an active member to raise yourself up. So what does that mean? It means, like, hey, if you want to make more money in your sport, in your job, in your profession, in your schooling, you just want to be better. You want to be a better student in the classroom. You want to be a better athlete on the track. You want to be a better seller in your office. You have to facilitate in your own rescue. What does that mean? You have to put in the things, and you have to do the things that you may not want to do in order to make more money, to run faster, to jump higher, to earn better grades. And so here's a perfect example of this. If I am any of these athletes, I would be doing different interviews. I would be doing different press conferences. I would want to get my name out there and saying how, yeah, I'm going up against 7 different athletes that are very, very good. They're all top of the line. But I'm taking this. Like, I believe in myself. Like, our training's gone well. I believe that I'm the best one in the field, and I'm gonna be winning this thing. And you put that out there, you know, that you have that confidence in yourself, you know, it's gonna bring more eyes to you, and hopefully then more people that would want to purchase different items from you, whether that be merchandise or training plans or whatever it might be. But we don't see that happen. And that's what's kind of frustrating. And I hope that some of these guys do it. Like, I hope that some of these people are going to be doing more marketing and press conferences leading up to it, but they're not. And so it's like, well, yeah, our sport doesn't grow because you're not helping it do that, you know? But overall, like, I'm super excited. Like, as a track fan, I am really looking forward to this race. I would just hope that it gets taken seriously and try to boost this thing to the next level. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Shakara Richardson is going to be doing the Prefontaine Classic for the women's side. If she is, that's another example of, hey, let's make sure that we are pushing this thing forward because we have another person that's a superstar. She would probably have to be going up against Elaine Thompson-Herah and Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce because they're both Nike athletes as well. So I would like to see better marketing for these things, not just we're going to make one Instagram post and kind of leave it alone. So I would like to see that going forward. Then after that, want to go over a couple great times that we've been seeing on the women so far. Starting off here, we have the world lead time. So Cambria Sturgis runs a 10.87, a massive PR for her and a world lead. She ran a fantastic race and has really been progressing over the years. I mean, take a look at what her progress has been over the last few seasons here. And so she's, 22 years old now? So last year she ran a 10.92. This is while she was at North Carolina A&T, right? Yeah, I believe last season she was still at North Carolina A&T. She ran a 10.92. And then in 2019, she ran an 11.17. And in 2018, she ran an 11.76. So she has shown very good progression. Now, obviously, she's gotten older. She's now going into her peak. She was, in 2018, she would have been, maybe like a senior in high school, probably. So she's obviously you're gonna get faster than what you were as a senior when you're an elite athlete. But she's been showing consistent improvements over the years, and to run a 10.87 is very impressive for her. I mean, she didn't quite have the indoor season I think that she wanted to. There was she just didn't do as well as I'm sure she wanted to do. She was coming in with a lot of hype, especially being one of the top runners coming out of college, winning the 1 and the 200 at the NCAA championship, but it just didn't translate in her first indoor season, which is understandable. You're changing probably your training. You're not going to be doing your academic stuff as much. You have more, it's more individual focused. And so things are just going to, be a little bit different. But super awesome for her. Excited to see where she's going to be going. And now, is she going to be another name that we have to watch to make the team? Obviously you have the Shakara Richardsons. Tanisha Terry just went really well. We're going to be talking about another woman who we're probably going to have to look at with Brittany Brown. You have the Gabby Thomases, obviously, and Jenny Prandini. So there's tons of different women that are going to be in that conversation to win. And Cambria Sturgis coming in with a world-leading time is impressive. Now, with it being early, we have to see what this is going to be throughout the rest of the year. Is this just going to be a flash in the pan, or is this going to be her resetting her new floor? Because you can do two things in the early season. When you run really fast, you're either A, it's a flash in the pan, you get off well because you don't have many miles on your legs, and so you run really well. Or B, you're showing, no, this is my new floor. The training that I've done in the off season is leading to this is just the new normal. And so it's a new PR, but I'm going to be PRing all the time compared to last year's times, because last year's times aren't this year's times. So it's one of two things. And obviously with it just being the first race, you can't tell which way it's going to trend, because you got to get at least two or three more races in there before you see if this is the new normal or if this is just going to be, a flash in the pan. So I'm hoping that it's the new normal, because I'm a big fan of Cambria Sturgis and North Carolina A&T as a whole. Next, Brittany Brown runs a 10.66, and so this was wind-aided, unfortunately. It was a 3.2 wind. She beats Gabby Thomas, I think, who had a 10.81. And so this obviously would have been the world lead, but it was a windy time. If it was corrected, so if you put this in a calculator of what would have it been with zero wind, she would have ran a 10.83. So it would have been a new world lead, but because of the wind, we're just not allowed. We just don't have that. And she also has shown some tremendous progressions in her career so far. I mean, let's take a look at last season. So this season, she runs a 10.66. She runs a win legal 10.99. And this other time would have been converted into a 10.83. Last year, she ran an 11.21. She ran an 11:21 last year and is now running a 10.83 converted, 10.66 with the wind. It's like, man, you're rolling. Whatever you're doing in this progression, whatever you're doing in the offseason, you know, what that base training is looking like, let's stick with that. Let's stick with that coach. This is a crazy improvement for her. And once again, just like we talked about with Cambria Sturgis, is this a new normal for you, or is this just going to be a flash in the pan? Based off of what she had in her actual season opener of a 10.99, to me, it's leaning towards closer that this is going to be a new normal. While she may not run a 10.66 every night, she's not going to run a converted 10.83 every night, this is in the ballpark of being, okay, this could be something that is new, a new normal for you. Because you've ran a sub-11 already, which was a massive PR. Like running a 10.99 from an 11.21 PR last year is already massive. And then so being able to do that again is leading towards the, okay, you're going to be a contender for this world championship team. Now, we'll see what she's going to be doing the upcoming weeks, like what's that time going to be looking like. But it's looking good for her, and I'm excited to see how this is going to go. I mean, Gabby Thomas, she even put together a tweet saying, like, why are we not talking about what Brittany Brown just did now? Like, everyone's talking about all these other times, and we're not talking about Brittany Brown's time. And I'm like, yeah, like, I kind of agree. Like, it's getting overlooked, even though it's crazy fast and would have been a world-leading time. Like, it's just not being talked about as much as it probably should be. And I'm looking forward to seeing how she'll be doing this entire year. Another time that got overlooked, and that is Favor Ofili of LSU. So Ofili, she runs a 21.96 in the 200 meters, which puts her at the new national record in the 200 and first woman under 22 seconds, I believe, outdoors. And so this was a very good race for her and did not get talked about at all either, from what it seems like. What a lot of people were talking about was another collegiate athlete that ran very fast this weekend, which was Abby Steiner. Abby Steiner put together a 22.05, which was, I believe, the third fastest time in the NCAA. Very fast, but when you have someone that ran a national record, you think you would probably talk about them a little bit more. I didn't hear too much discussion from her. And she can run fast. Like, she's someone that I believe this is definitely not a flash in the pan. It is her season opener in the 200. But remember, she was on the outside of Abby Steiner when she broke that national record in the indoor 200. She was on the outside, and when asked about her, Abby, in an interview, Abby Steiner was like, yeah, no, we have a really fast, you know, lady on the outside of me. She's helping me go through, and was, you know, definitely played a part in her breaking the national record there. And so we have someone that is in those conversations. Like, if you're someone that you're a good person to chase in this one previous race, just imagine that means that you have the talent to be able to go from being chased to being the chaser. And I feel that she's going to have that opportunity to do that. LSU obviously known very well for breeding their sprinters there, especially the 200 and 400 meter athletes. And so she's someone that I believe is going to be playing a huge part in where the women's 200 is going to go. Because from a collegiate standpoint, it's really her and Abby that are the two main competitors. And I'm going to be looking forward to seeing what SECs is going to be looking like with having them going back at it and seeing if Ofili can get her revenge from the indoor championship where she came in second there. So amazing races by some of these women that are putting together some very, very crazy times, and cannot wait to see how the championship series are going to go. They should be really good. And then last thing that I want to talk about today, we have Stephen Gardner. So Stephen Gardner has put together a very amazing start to his, well, not even just the start, just amazing stretch of season so far. He has gone 21 straight races undefeated in the 400. He is 29-1 since 2016, he's 29-1, and he hasn't lost since 2017. And so he is just putting together an extremely long line of being consistent, because that's in all races, world championships, Olympics, all that. He's been putting together win after win after win. He ran a 44.22 at LSU. And so he's someone where the 400 meter field is, while a lot of people think, oh, it's wide open, it's like, is it really though? Because you have Stephen Gardner, who has won every single race since 2017, since 2016. He has sustained, what, three different presidents in his greatness of what he's done while he's been competing. So he's someone that, while a lot of, there's a lot of other names that are in that, 400 meter conversation, you obviously have Curley, you have Wade Van Niekerk, you have Michael Cherry, you have Norman, you have a lot of different guys that are in that conversation for winning a 400 meter title as well. But it just seems like Gardner comes up when it matters the most, and being able to win all of these races is something that's huge. He's not just putting together really fast times, he's also bringing home the W's. And so whenever you're seeing Gardner on the line, it's like, man, don't bet against him, because if you bet against him, it's just not gonna go well. So he's someone that is just bound to be putting together some really exciting seasons, especially with, it seems like we have Michael Cherry, who's also been extraordinarily consistent with running 44s. I wonder if he's going to be able to break into that 43 range very soon. I think he will, because your consistency is the first thing that comes, and then those big PRs happen very shortly after. And so, yeah, that's going to be it for the episode. I know, obviously, you have a big weekend coming up with Penn Relays and the Drake Relays, so those are going to be happening. We are definitely going to be doing some reviews on those events that happen next weekend. So hopefully there'll be some world records going down. I know that the there's going to be an attempt for the 4x mile world record, and just it being a big meet, I'm sure there might be a few other things that could go down as well. But yeah, that's going to do it for us. If you enjoy this episode, make sure you leave a like, comment, subscribe. It all really helps us know that you're enjoying the content here. That's going to do it for us. Have a good one.